What you're about to hear is a true recording. In the months to come, the three members known as Nick, Scott, and Matt recorded this podcast on a lonely Sunday night in the month of August. There's no words, no notes to describe what has happened. It was just the last recording. What you're about to hear is true events. Please remember.
Hello and welcome to ViralCast. I'm Nick Butler, executive editor of MoveViral.com. I'm filling in for Dan Kell. She wasn't available due to computer problems. Tonight we'll talk Inglourious Basterds, Sherlock Holmes, and so much more. I'm joined by staff writer Scott and contributor Matt. So what's up, guys?
Nothing.
Nothing, you?
Nothing.
You didn't see that coming, did you?
No.
All right, I'm going to go first because otherwise Matt will interrupt me.
Hold on. Inglourious Basterds.
Yes, go ahead.
Spoiler warning, we're going to give spoilers. I haven't seen the film myself, so I'll be, this is a first, but we're going to have spoilers. So Scott, what do you think about Inglourious Basterds?
I thought it was awesome, fantastic, and I've already gotten ridicule from other people who are huge Quentin Tarantino fans that this is not his best movie. However, I disagree. I thought this one topped all of his movies. It was pretty much flawless. I mean, I don't know. I loved it. In fact, to me, it's like some people would complain about movies being long. You know, people complain about Watchmen being 3 hours long. This was 2.5, and I could have used another hour. It was that good.
Mm-hmm. Matt, what did you think?
Matt?
I thought it was Quentin Tarantino's masterpiece.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, well, he was trying to make it his masterpiece, but I put it second on my list.
Well, he actually, He said in an article that if he makes his masterpiece, he's done. So let's hope this isn't his masterpiece.
Yeah. Well, at least I thought Pulp Fiction was better. But that's it. This is better than all of his other movies that aren't Pulp Fiction. Even Reservoir Dogs.
Well, a lot of people are saying that, too. I mean, I think most Quentin Tarantino fans say, yes, Pulp Fiction was the best one. I mean, that's where he got his Oscar, but I don't know.
I think Tarantino's going to get another Oscar for this one.
I think he's going to get director for this one.
He's going to get writer and director.
Well, guys, the Oscars have pretty short memories. And is this an Oscar film?
Yes.
Like, whether or not he deserves it is one thing, but is it an Oscar film?
To me,
Any movie involving World War II gets an Oscar.
Well, no, but that's the thing. It's not a World War II movie. And for me, it's not a 100% Quentin Tarantino movie. He did different things into this movie. It actually was not, I don't know. I love the way that he shoots films. And my brother said to me the other day, he read my review and he stopped because he didn't want to get spoiled. But he said, you actually used the term beautiful in your review for the movie. It's just the whole style. I don't know if it was different cameras, different angles, different locations. Something about the film was different from his usual films. It had Quentin Tarantino style all over it, but something about this one, I don't know. I think it was just because most of it was a lot of script that I think it is honestly a fantastically done movie that if it's not recognized because of the fact that no one in the movie died in real life, it's not a sad love story, you know, if it gets overlooked, whether it be director, whether it be writer, I personally look at it more as a directing standpoint that he should get nominated. But if it gets overlooked, then that's a shame because it honestly is a wonderful movie.
And you said it was the best movie of the year.
I said it was the best movie of the year. Definitely.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Go ahead if you want to say something.
We can definitely talk, you know, we'll get into comparing this movie over other movies later and stuff. But compared to movies that I've seen this year, and this, you know, it's not a fan reaction because obviously when I saw Inglourious Basterds at 7 o'clock, that's a prime time to see a movie as opposed to Midnight G.I. Joe and 4:30 District 9.
Right.
But I don't know. From start to finish, I think I don't remember my heart slowing down during the movie. It was just great.
See, I didn't
simply
see the movie.
Put that's
I,
what
I didn't see the movie myself, but I had heard, and this could be wrong again. I haven't seen the movie that had dull points, and I think that was from the review I read from Christian on the forum.
But it's the Christian, but no, I was just gonna say because I mean Christian is one of those that would say Pulp Fiction is Quentin Tarantino's best, mm-hmm. and I don't know. It just seemed like this movie. Even the dull moments, I don't know. I mean, there were moments that you can consider dull, but that still kept you wondering what was going on. You know, you didn't look at it and be like, wow, I'm bored. You're looking at it as an, okay, something's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Okay. To me, that's not a dull moment. That's just, that's good writing. You know something's going to happen, and you're waiting. The opening scene of the movie, some people could call that a little bit dull. Right. I thought the opening scene of the movie was terrific. It showed you basically the person that was taking over this movie right off the start. And I don't know, it was just, to me, no dull moments, some dull characters, mm-hmm. no dull moments though.
Okay.
You know, I,
well,
there's the main character of the movie. Oh, go ahead, Matt. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You go.
Well, I found all the moments that didn't have the bastards or, Hans Landa in it. I found those to be kind of dull. Like the third chapter with the girl setting up the signs mm-hmm. on the theater and the guy, I found that to be extremely dull. But when Christoph, I don't know his last name, I don't know how to pronounce it, but when he came on, I found that whole chapter to be saved by his dialogue because he was so threatening. And when he ordered a glass of milk for the girl, I almost crapped my pants.
Right.
But before that, it was that was just the weakest chapter with the strongest.
Well, and this
probably the strongest would probably be the bar scene.
The bar scene was cool. But the whole thing is like you're obviously some of these chapters that you consider, you know, dull, some of these scenes that you consider dull are used to lead you into what's going to happen later. If you had gotten rid of the fact, again, here's a spoiler, I'm not going to go too far into it, Nick, because I really want you to see the movie.
Okay.
If you had skipped the scene where the German soldier was talking to the, you know, Manuel when she was cleaning the marquee, if you would skip that, would the scene in the projectionist booth mean as much? No.
Well, that scene didn't mean anything to me pretty much at all. Because I really didn't like either of those characters. I didn't care for them. And those are the
it
first
wasn't well. That's the thing is it wasn't. I think the fact that the projectionist booth was more of a visual scene. It wasn't so much, you know, part of the plot. It was just a visually fantastic scene for me, because it blended in that style. It let you know that this is Quentin Tarantino doing something different, but then he threw in, you know, that perfect Tarantino flair that he had. But again, if you had not seen those two talking and the follow-up scene from the outside the marquee into the restaurant into the next morning, if you didn't see those two talking, then the projectionist booth scene is wasted. It's not anywhere near what it should have been.
How's the acting in this?
Brad awesome. Pitt is Pitt is good, but he takes a back seat. But the real star is
he does. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah. But the real star is the Jew hunter, Hans Landa. He just, every second he's on screen, you're the one he's looking at. And I felt Diane Kruger to be very weak mm-hmm. with her short little role.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, Lando was, Christoph Waltz,
the star.
I mean, most, if you look at a lot of the interviews and stuff, he was the one that they cared about the most because he honestly took the movie. His character was, it gave you chills because he was just so maniacal and evil. And
I'd compare him to even Marcellus from Pulp Fiction. He was evil. Yeah, you wanted to watch him. You wanted to see what he does next. Tarantino got you to hate he got you to hate him, but at the same time, he got you to love him.
I could tell you right now, I did not hate him whatsoever. I knew he was evil.
As
he
a
was
villain.
Bad. He was just perfect. He was one of the best villains, not Tarantino films. He was one of the best villains out of all films. He was just, I don't know if it was a combination of Tarantino's writing, his acting. I don't know anything about this guy, Christoph Waltz. I've never heard of him before this movie. I think he's a German actor, but between the two of those, it was just, he nailed it. He was just disturbing to watch.
He can go from being the nicest person in the world, like when he's having milk with the guy, he's joking around, smoking his pipe, and then he'll go to an evil bastard within seconds.
But the whole thing is that niceness of him, that's the character. It's leading you. He's making you feel comfortable. He's making you feel like you're wrong. Mm-hmm. The whole scene in the cabin at the beginning, he made that guy feel wrong with Kruger. He made her feel wrong. He just, that's what he does, and it was amazing. Making the guys repeat themselves, their names. Making him repeat the names.
Yeah.
Making them repeat the name. No, well, because, I mean, that was one of the things of Brad Pitt. You know, I mean, this was not a Brad Pitt movie by any means.
Yeah, I don't really think they should have advertised it like it was.
Well, here's the thing.
Every single time I see a TV spot, it's Brad Pitt talking about killing Nazis, and he's only in the movie for three scenes.
Nick, go ahead. I'm sure you're probably going to say exactly the thing.
Again, I haven't seen the film, and I don't know how his role in it, but if you have Brad Pitt in a movie, you advertise it.
Exactly, and that's why they do it. That's why Brad Pitt is amazing, is plastered all over the theater, you know, the trailers and the previews. Brad Pitt is amazing. Brad Pitt was great. I loved his character. I thought he was awesome.
I loved his accent.
But he wasn't the movie. And if you had said Christoph Waltz is amazing in Inglourious Basterds, people are going to be like, who? You advertise Brad Pitt because it's Brad Pitt. That's the reason why Brad Pitt was awesome. He was. He was an awesome character. But he was not the movie. He took a backseat to some other characters in this movie. And,
I think you had mentioned the whole...
I mean, he was an okay character. He was cool. He was an essential part of the movie, but I wrote in my article that Fassbender, who was Archie Hitchcock, the British soldier, was awesome. I thought his character was very much needed in that movie. It was, again, spoiler, short-lived, but he was incredible. The way that he just walked in, I mean, his character itself was a cocky character. And it just showed through every scene that he was in. He was just smooth, and he was, there's only a couple characters that really nailed it for me. Brad Pitt was great because he's Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt can't do any wrong. He really can't. I love all of his characters. I would compare this character to almost the character that he played in 12 Monkeys because he just nailed it so good. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't the movie. He really wasn't.
I compare this character for advertising purposes. I'd compare Aldo Rain more to Tyler Durden. They have the same sense of humor, but
it's the quickness because the lines of the quickness of Aldo Rain were the physical quickness of 12 Monkeys. The jitteriness and stuff like that was conveyed into script in this movie. I don't think Brad Pitt can do any wrong. He did amazing for his character, but he's not the movie. Christoph Waltz was the movie. He was disturbing. He was just so good, and I hope that, you know, you see more of him.
I have one complaint about the movie, and it's just that Mike Myers did not fit in at all.
I wrote about that too. Well, it's not the scene. It was the character.
It was the way he was portraying the character.
It was him doing his characters in the past. It was nothing different. You look at, because people, I honestly, when they said special guest Mike Myers, when they did the introductions, and one, I don't know if the reaction was because it's Mike Myers, or two, the reaction was that we just saw the H2 trailer beforehand, and there's Michael Myers. So I don't know what the reaction was, but when he came on scene, it was laughter. It wasn't like, oh, wow, look at Mike Myers trying to act. It was Mike Myers doing Austin Powers and Fat Bastard, and it just... Yeah, that one did not fit with me at all in this movie. That was, like, my big negative. Mike Myers was not needed.
That's what I heard. How's BJ Novak do from The Office?
He was good. He had very, very, very minimal lines. His lines didn't come
did
until
play?
The end of the movie. He was the
was
one that got
the
captured
with
Brad Pitt.
Yeah, he's...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, remember they were handcuffed together in the conversation with Hans Land. Yeah, he was good. His lines were short-lived, but they fit. They did really well. I can only say that his character was the same character in The Office, with more pressure put onto him. Right. Just quick little lines, sarcastic, very. It was cool. I liked him. He again, short-lived, but it was nice.
I could have used another 15 to 20 minutes on each chapter so we could get to know the characters a little better, because I feel like this movie could, if it had another hour, it'd be perfect to me.
Didn't you complain that there were dull parts? Wouldn't that make it duller if you add more time?
No, there were dull parts, but they were dull because
you
didn't
more time,
care.
If you add more time, it's going to make more time for dull parts. From what I've heard, it would be hard to add more time and make it as focused as it was on the action.
I don't think so. If you would,
there
but
wasn't
the thing
any
is,
action.
This is not an action movie.
Not action, but the feeling of you, not act, intensity. I guess.
No, I know, but it's not. To be honest with you, I don't think we needed to know any more about the characters. They had I really feel bad. I wish you would see this movie, but. The characters were short-lived, you could say. And
I'm just saying that
to me,
with an extra 15 minutes onto each chapter,
did you really want to know about every single character?
No, I just wanted to be able to care for them when, spoilers, all of them except Brad Pitt die at the end.
But you did care for him. Well, I did. And the only female character that
they got
into... I didn't
care for Hugo Stiglitz because he was only in one scene.
But you want to know the funny thing is you didn't care for Hugo Stiglitz, and who was the one character that they got into the history of? Hugo Stiglitz. That was the one character that they gave history. So if you got more history, would you care for him, or would you be like, whatever, he was just a guy, you know? No, I think it was great that you didn't know their history. You know that they were Jewish Americans killing Nazis. That was it. No history needed. You got history.
Well, I heard that there was an awesome scene that was cut out that involved Eli Roth getting his bat signed up at Fenway.
Well, the story is that his bat was signed by all the neighborhood, the whole neighborhood. I don't think it was by actually ballplayers. I think it was signed by the neighborhood Jewish Americans that knew what he was going in there for, and they signed his bat. I don't think it was ballplayers. And again, Christian, if you listen to this, you'll verify it for us. But I think that's the story.
I'm not sure.
I
haven't read the script in a while.
Now,
I think it's the neighborhood signed the bat.
This isn't based off anything, right?
Oh, no.
You're right.
No, this is strictly... This has been 10 years...
There is an old film called Inglourious Bastards, but...
Yeah,
but it has nothing to do with it.
It's
Quentin Tarantino wrote the movie, it's spelled different. No, it wasn't even a tribute to the movie so much when he came up with the name, but once the name started coming out, then, you know, it was almost like, you know, I'll pay tribute to it, because it had some people in Inglourious Bastards that he's used in his movies in the past. So, but no, it's not. It has nothing to do with the original Inglourious Bastards. It's... His movie, he's been writing it for 10 years now.
Avatar?
What?
Is this like his James Cameron's Avatar?
This actually probably made him look at Avatar and laugh.
Because I think no, actually... No, what, I mean the reference, like, James Cameron has been working on Avatar for 10 years.
James Cameron, yeah, it's been writing Avatar for
10 years. So that was my reference. Thank you, Matt.
This is
Tarantino. He doesn't use
Godfather.
Tarantino doesn't use CGI.
I wasn't referencing the film.
I guarantee you had Avatar started.
Matt.
Let me explain.
I wasn't referencing.
Go ahead. You explain.
I'm just trying to explain.
Matt, I wasn't referencing the film.
Tarantino. He's been working on. Tarantino has been working on this movie for 10 years, doing scripts, trying to cast every right person. And James Cameron, he's just been waiting for the technology to come around before he starts. Because he's had the script for 10 years, and he's just sat on it until the CG was ready. Right.
I can see how you... Okay, thank you, but I doubt
he put it on like the back burner. It was probably constantly edited as technology was edited. No, I'm sure as he found out he could do more, he would add more.
And this was whole Tarantino, I'm sure, was editing it himself.
Right. I wasn't trying to do that kind
of... Wow. No, I know. But no, this was, to me, again, there was an article that came out many months ago, when Bastards started getting talked about and stuff, and Tarantino said that if he writes a masterpiece, he's done. Mm-hmm. And I can honestly say that I love the movie. I think it's his best work, but if that's the case, I hope it's not his masterpiece because he needs to do more. But
it's the best probably of the summer. Let's talk about that. Or the year, excuse me, the year. Let's talk about
that. Okay, we can talk about it, sure. Okay, so I mean, again, this could just be my theater. It could be, you know, with the time frame that I saw it.
It got a standing ovation, didn't it?
I have never been part of a film that actually got an ovation at the end of a movie. I hear people talk about it, and I thought it was just, it's a bunch of fanboys and stuff like that. But you could see people in this theater that probably weren't expecting what they saw.
Right.
But I clapped. I was just like, people clapping at the end of a movie. What do they care? It's not like the director's in the back of the theater.
That's what I always think.
I clapped. It was just an awesome movie. And again, if we really want to get into the whole best movie of the year, I only have a few movies that I could honestly say were great this year. Mm-hmm. The Hangover,
mm-hmm.
District 9,
right,
and this. Those are my top three movies. Nothing else compares to it. In fact,
have you seen Up?
I have. No, I haven't. This is just coming from me.
Right. I understand.
Granted, yes, because Up is family and it's Disney, Pixar.
A lot of people say the best movies of the year were Up and District 9. Before Inglourious Basterds. So.
But this is before. This is before. And that's the thing, too, is you've got, all right, are they the best movie because they came out earlier? District 9's now got 2 weeks on Inglourious Basterds. Up's got 6 months, whatever they got.
Right.
But are they saying that it's the best movie numbers-wise? Because Inglourious Basterds may not produce. Right now, they are. They've got more money per day than District 9 did.
Right.
But I personally, I look at District 9, I loved District 9. And I'm not a sci-fi person. For me to actually love a sci-fi movie is huge. District 9 was great.
Mm-hmm.
But Inglourious Basterds was... It was like a line under perfect. It was because I'm looking at it as my emotions through the movie. I watched District 9 and I look at, you know, the movie starts off and you get to know about Wickus and, oh, you see what he's doing and you know the story and they tell you why he's there and why he became who he is. You know the plot. You go into Inglourious Basterds and right off the very bat, you get this scene in the cabin. You know something is going to happen. And from that moment, your heart is almost just pounding and racing because it doesn't, dull moment or not, you know, because it's a Tarantino film, that something's going to happen. He's not going to let you down.
Right.
And that, it was an emotion movie for me from start to finish. Mm-hmm. District 9 was a great movie from start to finish, but it didn't involve my emotions more so than this movie did. That's why I'm looking at this movie as in the best film of the year, because I was glued start to finish. I could have went for a bathroom break in District 9 and been okay.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had Arby's before Inglourious Basterds and nothing was going to stop me from watching all 2.5 hours of that movie.
Yeah, Yeah, well, if you if
you sat through 2.5 hours after Arby's, you deserve an award. You deserve.
I deserve Arby's coupons.
Well, now, now we just lost our sponsor, but one day, no, but if you liked Glorious Bastards because of its emotions, then you'll like Up, which sounds funny, but you will like Up.
Okay, well, and that's possibly true. It very well could be true.
Right, but I don't rank up
to me. I mean, this is just. I'm not gonna, you know, I've probably watched more movies opening weekend since I started writing again for Movie Viral. But I'm not gonna go watch every movie.
No, right, no, I don't.
You know, I'm not gonna see. And I will watch Up when it comes out, you know, on DVD. I'll sit together with my kid and we'll watch it. But I don't know. I just, but to me now, is Up exciting? Like, does your heart race, or are you just watching it because you're like, oh, that's cute, oh, well, that's funny?
No, you cry like a little. Yeah, Up is cry very, like a little bitch.
And you
throughout that movie.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you. Now we lost Disney Pixar. You laugh.
No, I.
You cry. You were excited. It's an emotional roller coaster. I don't rank it as one of the best films of the year. I rank it as the best animated film ever made by Disney or Pixar, or Disney.
But that's the thing is, you're comparing it to a genre, and I'm comparing it to the year because I can honestly say that.
Right. I'm just saying what other
District
people
9
have compared
had
it to. Other people have compared it to District 9 and Disney to and Up to it.
District 9 had you laughed, you. I don't know. My emotions in District 9 were not as much as Inglourious Basterds, because Inglourious Basterds, I laughed. You wanted to cry at a couple scenes. There was, again, this went to the whole projector scene was a little disturbing. Right. The crowd, there were some scenes that in Inglourious Basterds that you just didn't want to watch.
You felt bad about the bastards that were in the theater.
You did. You feel bad. You feel bad for characters, whether they were in the movie for 5 minutes or 3 hours. You know, you felt bad for them. There were scenes that were unbearable to watch because they were gross.
Such as the scalpings or
the end. All the scalpings were the very end scene. I couldn't watch the very end scene.
I watched it and I clapped. That was an amazing scene.
Well, let me see here. I think we lost Scott.
Damn it.
Yeah, we'll get him back. But, okay, so what would you say, District 9 or Inglourious Basterds is so far the best film this year?
Well, it depends on what kind of movie
Or any other film, I should say. I'm not trying to limit, but what is the best film of this year out of those two?
Inglourious Basterds.
You really think so? Is it close?
Yeah. It's very close, but it all depends on rewatchability.
Right.
Because I've seen District 9 4 times, and I loved it each time I saw it. But I'm not sure if I'm going to like Inglourious Basterds again, because I know what's going to happen. I know the dialogue. It's going to be less suspenseful to me.
Right. Well, I think District 9. I haven't seen Inglourious Basterds yet. I just want to stress that. But I think that District 9 is one of the best films of the year. And I think after I see Inglourious Basterds, I'll say the same thing. It's the best film of the year because it's the directorial debut of Neil Blomkamp. The CGI it was done on under a $30 million budget. That everything was against it. The marketing campaign wasn't that big. The viral got it. Everyone talking about it, but not. It still wasn't on TV every 2 seconds, and Glorious Basterds I saw a lot of on TV. It was low
and
budget, all
District
that.
9 has already made $81 million in two weekends.
Right. You're right.
It's made its money back. It's been profitable for Sony. Their virals paid off.
Yeah, they made so much profit off District 9, it isn't even funny. So that's the things that were against District 9 is what brings my liking to it. The reason I think it's and just the film itself is fantastic, but everything was against it. The budget, the marketing, just everything was against it.
Yeah, right. Well, it was definitely one of those films that, you know, you didn't have that backing, so right. It's it and, to I mean
Well, Inglourious Basterds, it had the wine. Inglourious Basterds, it had Harvey and Bob Weinstein trying to produce it and get it out into theaters. And everyone has heard about them. They will try to cut your movie up and do anything. In fact, I heard that they cut 40 minutes off of Inglourious Basterds.
That's not true. They did not cut anything off Inglourious
Basterds. Tarantino had to edit it. I heard that the can cut was a little bit longer.
No, in fact, what you saw was 1 minute longer than cans.
Well, I know there are scenes missing that were in the cans.
No. You've got two big...
Yeah, the bat signing thing was in the can. It was in can.
I saw something. I don't remember if it was first showing or slash film that posted it, but it was direct from the wine signs that said, "That's bullshit. We would not touch a Tarantino film and tell him to shorten."
That's what they said about Fanboys, too.
Well, Fanboys compared to a Tarantino film is a bit of a jump. But you've got two films with huge production backings. Come on, District 9 had Peter Jackson. Who the hell doesn't know who Peter Jackson is?
Yeah, but...
So...
No.
And both of them stepped back and said, "I'm going to produce your movie, but it's your movie. You do it." No one's going to interrupt Tarantino and tell him what to do. And that was what Jackson did with Blomkamp. He didn't interrupt. He let him do what he had to do. And they're two great movies. They're, you know, District 9 was the feel-good movie of the year because you wanted it to do well. I mean, we did because we know the backing and stuff like that. Right. But District 9 is going to be one of those movies, I think, that has a later following. It's done pretty good the second weekend.
Yeah.
But Inglourious
Basterds. No, it's already got a following right now. It has 80 million racked up.
It has worldwide. 80 million international. It has 80 million international. Inglourious Basterds has 62 international. But it's 62 total for its first weekend as opposed to 80 with two weekends to boot. So I don't know. I'm not rooting for one movie over the other. I just look at it for Oscar standpoint. Tarantino can get director. Blomkamp's not because it's a sci-fi film. He's not going to get
director. And District 9 can get Best Picture. It's conceivable because they've expanded the category to 10 nominations.
And I'd just like to point out that on Twitter, this is just kind of an addition, that District 9 has been trending above Inglourious Basterds almost through the weekend, which doesn't mean I'm not trying to like make the like, it's better. I'm trying just to point out what people are saying and what they're talking about right now. Inglourious Basterds isn't even on the list, which isn't bad because I think the people would see it earlier. Yeah, it's not on right
well,
now.
Well, there's more. The people that what Nick's trying to say is that there's just more word of mouth going on.
Right, but that's the point of the marketing for District 9. But I also think that the people who would see a Tarantino film wouldn't really be on Twitter. So.
You got to compare the whole genres too. Right. That, you know, a science fiction film would take over the internet more than, you know, a Tarantino film would.
Mm-hmm. That's another point I'm trying to make.
A Tarantino film involving Brad Pitt killing Nazis should have some people talking.
But even fans of like Brad Pitt and Tarantino aren't going to be on Twitter. Twitter is more of a.
No, they're going to be on MySpace.
Right. And Facebook.
Or it's downing.
But. I was just like, I'd like to point out what people are talking about on Twitter, so.
Dude, shut up. I have MySpace.
I think everyone has
MySpace.com /scooter518. The whole thing is after I wrote my article and I said that Inglourious Basterds was the best film of the year, I started watching, you know, reviews and trailers and stuff like that again from District 9. I didn't change my thought. It's still to me that Inglourious Basterds is the best film of the year, but it put District 9 closer to where I had originally put it because District 9 is, I think District 9 has a better story. Mm-hmm. From start to finish, it's a better story. Inglourious Basterds just looked, sounded, and felt better to me.
Right.
I don't know. That makes a ton of sense, but...
No, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
Inglourious Basterds was a Quentin Tarantino story. It's over the top. It's fantastic. You know, it has all this stuff. District 9 was just, it was a real story, just with aliens, you know?
Right. No, yeah, it's I know not, what you're saying.
Yeah, so they're both the top two
they
for
are,
me.
They're in different areas, I have, so you can't really, they're in different, it's hard to judge. That's when people compare District 9 and Up. I'm like, how can you compare those films? They're not really the same.
I mean, honestly, if you're going to compare Up to anything, compared to Monsters, Aliens versus Monsters, or some other shitty anime.
Where the heck is that film? No, I don't know. I'm going to see Up. I will see Up. Hell, I want to see friggin' G-Force. I don't care. But I just, you know, I'm for this point, to me...
You want
to
see G-Force?
G-Force, yes, I want to see it. Shut up.
I want to see it. Zach Galifianakis is in it, or whatever his name is. From The Hangover.
Galifianakis.
He's also
at
Galifianakis.
G.I. Joe Schwartz from Funny or Die.
But to me, it's... I think right now, at this point, I mean, obviously, movies are released in the summer because they're for a reason. I'm done film-wise for the year. I'm going to see Halloween 2.
In 2012.
I'm going to see Surrogate.
In 2012.
I'm going to see Final Destination Death Trip 3D.
Yeah, I'll wait for that to come out on DVD. But
I know
it
won't be in 3D.
I don't understand the whole 3D thing. Why can't people
My Bloody Valentine is in 3D, and it ruined the movie. And I'm telling you, I told you this on Twitter, Matt. Final Destination screwed up and went in 3D, and Halloween 2 is going to blow it out of the water.
I guarantee you the teenagers that go to the movies on Friday night to get high, smoke a blunt, rip the bong, they're going to be more interested in seeing a 3D movie.
Fine, let them.
All the teenagers, they're going
to
be interested.
People that want to see a movie from... No. They're going to be interested.
Yeah, when you
weigh
the Halloween series against the Final Destination series, Final Destination isn't even close.
Okay, I know, but this isn't Halloween.
Can I ask you a question?
This is Rob Zombie's Halloween.
That's Halloween.
And honestly, the last one wasn't very good.
I want to ask a question.
Go ahead.
Matt, Nick, whoever.
Yes.
What did you pay for your ticket for District 9?
$7.50. Oh, no, I didn't pay for my District 9 ticket.
Okay.
$6.25.
Okay. What am I going to pay for my ticket for District 9 Halloween 2? I'm going to pay $11. Okay. That is a standpoint, too, that, yes, Final
What are you
going to
pay for the 3D Final Destination? You're going to pay $16, right?
Is it R? Is it R?
Yes, it's R.
Whatever. It's still – I'm not – I'll sound like a douche for my comments, but it's still going to suck. But here's the thing. It's not the movie's going to suck. I just don't like the fact that it's in 3D. I love Final Destination
Scott,
movies.
Scott, does your title really pay $11 or cost $11?
Movies for me, yeah, are $11.
Go up and smack
them. Ten and change. What was that?
Go and smack them. Hit them. Sue them. I'm pretty sure you can because that's ridiculous.
I know that's, but that's well. Here's the thing: is my theater is digital,
okay,
which is obviously a better picture than normal theaters.
All digital. All the screens digital.
Yes, in this one theater, yes, they're all digital screens. Nice. The other theater that's down the road is phony IMAX, so we have that going for us. That's where it's Watchmen. So we have the two biggest theaters in the area are one is 100% digital, the other one is IMAX. Phony IMAX, yes. So it's, I mean, plus they have nice, incredibly comfortable seats. So I can rock back and forth in my seats. But so
really?
Yeah, that's why you're paying $11 because the sound, they're true quality, you know, I mean, they're digital quality screens. They're fantastic. I actually would prefer to see a movie in digital than I would to see it in IMAX.
Okay.
Seriously? Like, have you been to a real IMAX and not
I haven't
a
been to
IMAX?
I haven't been to a real IMAX. So.
Oh, dude,
I have
you
one
do not know what you're missing.
Probably 3 hours away from me, I can go to a real IMAX. But the thing is real IMAX theaters don't show films like Harry Potter and Watchmen. Real IMAX theaters show films like, oh, you're in the ocean and here's what coral looks like.
No, my IMAX is real and it's showing Harry Potter right now.
Well, that's Harry Potter. I don't really want to see Harry Potter. But
and it was showing Transformers a few months ago.
But I don't want to see an IMAX movie. I want to see the whole screen. I don't want to have to search for what I'm going to look for. Like an IMAX screen where it's you're going to miss things. But the thing, it doesn't matter. I mean, yeah, an adult is going to pay for more for movies that are above. So, yes, District 9 and Inglourious Basterds and Final Destination are going to make a good chunk because they're making more money off the ticket. But I don't know. I honestly, at this point, there's nothing else that's going to be in competition with what we saw this year. Movies, to me, are going to make minimal. There's nothing that's going to stand in the way.
Right.
Surrogates is pretty much the only real movie that I'm looking forward to seeing.
What about Nine?
You know, but I'm not interested in Nine, to be honest with you. I'm doing Surrogates because Bruce Willis is my god.
It's Bruce Willis.
Exactly. He's my hero.
Yeah, except you photoshopped a mustache on him.
It's part of the forum for those that don't know. But no, I don't know. I just Inglourious Basterds was it for me. It was a beautiful film. It was put together flawlessly. I don't know, some of the storyline to me was a little off. The whole, you know, second in line to the Nazi army is also a filmmaker. That was a little odd. That was just weird to me. But, you know, I didn't care for the character of, I know I'm probably going to get shit for this one, but Sasha, you know, Shohana / Emmanuel, I didn't care for her.
Me neither. I didn't find the ending theater, the projectionist booth scene to
be important. The scene, it wasn't the people, it was the scene that did it for me. And Nick, just so you know too, if you've read Christian's review, he basically said what it was. The Basterds go in there to kill the Nazis. They want to get into this premiere of German films in the French theater,
right,
to blow them up, basically. However, the theater owner also has her motives to go after the Germans. Watch the movie and you'll see her motives. So you've got two conflicting people that want the same thing. And all hell breaks loose and makes for some great film.
Okay.
Makes for some great deaths of German hierarchy.
That whole scene in the theater at the end, that was made by the expression on Eli Roth's face.
His expression was the best.
He just had that look of glee in his face while he's spoiler, killing Hitler.
No, don't give away that mark. But his, the whole thing is Eli Roth. He's not credited as a writer, but I do believe he wrote some of the script. The whole Nation's Pride black and white movie was
probably directed
filmed
by him.
It was. That part was directed by Eli Roth, and if you watch on one of the things that we mentioned,
the viral,
right, exactly. One of the things that we mentioned on our website was a trailer that Apple had posted called Nation's Pride, right. And Nation's Pride was a movie within Inglourious Basterds. However, those scenes were directed and shot by Eli Roth.
So, I wonder if we'll get like a full-on Nation's Pride movie like he's doing with Thanksgiving.
I hope not, because actually watching the clips that they showed in the movie, that was just horrible. And if that was to like be full-on acting, I would not watch it at all. But just, you know, Eli Roth has a lot of projects coming his way, and I'm sure Nation's Pride isn't one of them. No.
Okay.
For those of you who want to know, Google video Thanksgiving from Eli Roth. That is going
yes,
to be released,
amazing.
Or he's working on that. He's working on that soon.
Okay.
And then he has his full. I'm hoping that they do some viral for his sci-fi movie. He's doing a sci-fi movie called Endangered Species, where he says it's going to be
development hell.
I don't know. I don't see how he can get stuck anywhere. It's, you know, it's Eli Roth, and it's going to be he calls it his Cloverfield. So I'm hoping that they do some viral for that. So Endangered cool. Species, look for it.
I'm hoping that he teams up with Rob Zombie and he makes a Nazi werewolf women of the SS.
I think Thanksgiving is going to be his trailer movie, which if that's released, then that's going to be the newest and latest cult movie classic. Because if you haven't
they're
seen
probably
it,
gonna pair it up
already
when they Thanksgiving. When they release Thanksgiving in theaters, they're probably just going to pair it up with Machete and call it Return of the Grindhouse.
If the two of them got together, then it's one of those things to where, well, they would have to put the two together to make it Grindhouse, definitely. They couldn't release them separately. And right now, Thanksgiving would be a low-budget film. I don't see him going after anybody big for Thanksgiving. However, Machete has already De Niro and Jessica Alba. So he's already set. So I don't see it being a Grindhouse double feature again because I see Thanksgiving coming
Rodriguez.
Out.
Rodriguez went and got Bruce Willis for
Well, Rodriguez is also doing the Jetsons, so he's got his hands full with some big...
Oh, and Rodriguez also had a new movie open up this weekend, and it bombed.
Shorts. Yeah, it's not getting good reviews. I heard people actually leaving the theater as I was waiting to get into Bastard saying, we just saw Shorts and it was crap. I heard him talking on the phone, so... But, I mean, it's going to make money, because it's a kid's movie, just like he did
no,
with...
No, it's not. It's all... It hasn't made any money so
It'll
far.
Make DVD money.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the other one that he did with the kids?
Spy Kids.
What's that one he did with Spy Kids? Spy Kids made him money. So Shorts will make him money. But that's not. He does it because.
Lava Boy and Shark. Shark Boy and Lava Girl in 3D.
Something like that.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. That was the third one, right? But it's whatever. That's not what he does. That's not what he does, though. He's going to make bank off of Machete. So whatever he does, Machete's going to be big. Who knows what the Jetsons are going to look like, I don't, whatever, but Machete for me is what I'm looking forward to. So.
What did you
and
guys,
whether they team Machete up with Thanksgiving. Go ahead, Nick, I'm sorry.
What did you guys think was more controversial? This is going back to District 9 and Inglourious Basterds. What do you think was more controversial, District 9 or Inglourious Basterds? Obviously, District 9
Inglourious
dealt
Bastards.
With xenophobia, racism,
yeah,
and also the apartheid, all that. That's a lot. That's a touchy subject. But mm-hmm. And then Inglourious Basterds went with World War II, the whole Nazi German Jew thing. So what did you think?
Well,
was more controversial?
The whole thing is Inglourious Basterds by far, because District 9 had to do with xenophobia, and obviously I'm going to be the first to tell you right now that it had nothing to do with my theory of Mexico and the United States, but. It was, I don't even think District 9 was a xenophobia thing, as opposed to it was a hierarchy and, wealth, power, stuff like that. But whatever, that's a whole different thing. Matt, your phone's ringing.
I know.
Inglourious Basterds involved, one, Nazis and Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it rewrote history of Nazis and Jews. It didn't take real history. It rewrote history. Three, Inglourious Basterds brought into history of Black Americans and Black French. It brought in that whole aspect
right.
of African American. It wasn't just Nazis and Americans. It was Nazis, Americans, French, African American. It was everything. And Tarantino pulled no punches. If he's gonna say it in his script, he said it. And there was, whether you want to call it reaction, whether you want to call it oohs and ahs, Inglourious Basterds was more controversial to
okay.
me.
Okay, now here's Chris. Here's another one that he asked, and this is kind of going back a little while, but this is a good question. Do you guys think that Avatar is really the future of movies, or do you think it's overhyped?
Matt, you go ahead. You take this one.
Or don't.
Okay, Matt's answering his phone, so I'll take this one. Avatar, to me, it's funny because I read a lot of the reviews and the fanboys are upset about this. First of all, it's Avatar. It's a completely new movie. There are no fanboys. Secondly, if you are going to spend $100 million to make a film, you better damn well make it better than a video game. And that, to me, is what Avatar looks like. It looks like a video game that, you know, Ubisoft or all these guys, they could have made it themselves. In fact, the video game looks more realistic than the movie. To me, Avatar is... He won't make his money back. I'm sorry. He's not going to make his money back. Avatar is the nothing film of the year.
Okay. Yeah, that's a... That's,
there you go, Chris.
That was a good question by Chris. Now, I wanted to bring this up because it was a good point, and I think you said it was Slash Film who did the article, that did District 9 take away from the impact of Avatar? And that's a really good point, because obviously when District 9 came out, there was just this huge, just critical acclaim film. Most people loved it, and it just kind of created this big buzz. And then right after that, Avatar came out and kind of went down. So, I mean, would you agree with that, Scott?
I would. I mean, and here's the thing, too, is like, because District 9 came out and it did its first, you know, first weekend. I mean, hell, it did $32 million. It did good. But it's still doing good. It almost like it's doubled its money within another week. And that's pretty damn good. So the fact that you see another sci-fi movie coming out, it's like, you know what? I already got one. I saw District 9. District 9 was done on a $30 million budget. It's the CGI in District 9 was probably about 90% perfect.
Right.
And now you're coming out with this one.
A shitty trailer.
You know, it's a shitty trailer. Christian said it the best. It's not new. You know, an American goes into a native land. He falls in love with a native woman. It's Pocahontas. It's been done, and I'm sorry. Yes, I know it took you 10 years. But come on, you know, you're not doing Titanic. You're not going to make a Titanic again. You're done. Not that you're done. I hate to say that James Cameron's done. He's a great director. But if it took you 10 years to make this movie, you could have done some other stuff. And no, District 9 completely stole Avatar's thunder. Unfortunately, it may steal the Surrogate's thunder. And it could very well steal the thunder of anything in 2010. As a sci-fi movie.
It could steal
movie,
2012's thunder.
Is a sci-fi... 2012 is not...
That's a different genre. It's sci-fi.
It's not sci-fi.
Right.
It's world destruction. It's not sci-fi. So I'm not saying that District 9 is going to go into 2010 and still take over the theaters. District 9 is going to take over DVD release when it comes out. But it's... Avatar to me, it looks like a kid's movie.
I agree.
I can't make it any simpler. You've been hyping this up forever. You've been hyping it up and hyping it up, and then you release the trailer. And somebody posted on Twitter the other day that James Cameron was upset that the trailer came out prior to his 16 minutes of footage.
Right.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what came out before when. Your footage
still looks like ass.
Exactly. Your trailer and your footage are the same. People have said, well, maybe it's not done. No. You don't spend $100 million to release an unfinished trailer or unfinished 16 minutes. You spend $100 million, you're still working on your movie, but if you're going to release 16 minutes and you're going to release a trailer, it's going to be done.
Right.
Whatever, 100 million, 300 million, it doesn't matter. Once you get past 86, you're spending too much money. If it makes money, congratulations, you did well. But it's not going to fit the genre of sci-fi that District 9 did.
Right.
So I agree with that article completely that District 9 stole Avatar's thunder. And I'm sorry if I don't know if it was Slash Film or First Showing. I think it was Slash Film.
It was Slash Film.
You know, kudos to you guys, because that's brilliant thinking. Right
now,
there.
I know everyone keeps saying that it was hyped up and it was this big James Cameron film he's been working on it for 10 years, and I don't know. I follow films. This is the first I heard about it. It was on Twitter. People talking about Avatar Day, and then I had thought they were talking about The Last Airbender, which I had... I don't know how I missed it. I missed Avatar's hype, so this is the first I've heard about it, and I saw the trailer, and I saw it, and is it a kid's movie? Because it looks like it is, and it looks just... It looks like one of those movies that are gonna do so bad that they're gonna get that cult kind of film following, right. But... I'm confused about what Avatar
actually
is.
Post on the forum, when you just change a couple words around in the official synopsis, you turn it into District 9.
Yeah, but you can. That's true, but you can do that with a lot of films. You just change a few words.
Right.
Films are so
well,
generic
I mean, District 9, somebody, I asked Dan. I said, Dan, what is Avatar about? Tell me. And he said, it's about a person who goes into uncharted waters, blah, 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 blah. And I said, okay, District 9 did it already. District 9 was about a person who went into uncharted waters and technically became one of them. Mm-hmm. So it's just, do we know what Avatar's rated? I can't imagine it's PG-13, more than PG-13, right? Yeah, so PG-13. So yeah, you're going to get families involved. You're not going to get kids going to District 9. You're going to get kids going to Avatar, but... I don't know. I think
normal kids would see Avatar. I think that's more of a... I don't know.
No, but and you had mentioned too, yeah, there's Last of the Airbender. I don't see Shyamalan, you know, taking over James Cameron's spot for film, but you get to the point to where it's like, okay, you've released some movies that are very, very similar. You've got Avatar, which is, I guess, one of the characters in Last Airbender. We have District 9. In, you know, we have 9 coming out in September. We have the musical 9 coming out in November. It, you kind of wonder what their train of thought is that they're doing with some of these films, but I don't know. I just, granted, yes, Avatar looked like crap when we watch it from our computers. What's it going to look on a digital theater? I looked, you know, when the trailer came out during Bastards the other day, some of the scenes were far better on the big screen than they were on my monitor. Mm-hmm. But I still don't care for the movie. I'm still not going to see it, you know?
Right.
It's, I don't know. It's just, it, like Christian said, it's like Pocahontas. It's, we've seen that before. And if you go to, not the hype up other websites, but if you go to io9.com right now, they have something on there that apparently James Cameron's standpoint was to make the Navi, what are they called, Navis? Whatever they're called, attractive. And they have a poll up that, do you find them attractive?
No.
Because that was his standpoint of, is, can somebody's mind be put in one of them? Will you look at the screen and think that they're attractive? No, they're not going to be attractive. It's like Smurfs. They're blue. They're.
But Smurfette was hot.
To you, Matt, Smurfette was hot. So I don't know. It's no one. I'm sorry, but you know what? Granted, you've spent this much money on your film, and I guarantee you that when the film comes out, there will be reviews of how the CGI was flawed. You're going into this film 100% CGI, 90% CGI, whatever the case was, people will complain about how flawed it was.
Right.
It's going to happen. You hype yourself up on a CGI film, you're going to get knocked out.
Honestly, there were only 2 really bad moments of CGI in the trailer for me. And that was when Sam Worthington, when he's getting off the plane, and they have that stupid mech
he's
there.
Got the mask on.
And it looks like it's 100% CG.
Here's the thing, is when Sam Worthington got off the plane, when he got off the plane, he was CGI'd in that mask. I don't care what you say, when he got off the plane, him and that stupid mask were CGI'd. But when he was in the, whatever, next to the blue thing in the water, he wasn't. It's like, why would you see blue?
Yeah, no, I get what he's saying, though, but I think when you get a film that's overhyped like this, because this film is hyped up, it's hyped up to be...
Oh, it's huge hyped
up. Yeah, so you're going
to get... They had a day!
Yeah, which, by the way, did very well. Avatar did very well. No, well, for no, what it was, the site was down.
How does according it do very well if for free?
According to Devin Faraci over at Chud, not to plug the website or anything, he has staggering reports of people saying that no one went to Avatar Day.
Okay.
Theaters were only half full.
Do you honestly think that hyping up a movie and then giving away 16 minutes is going to do you wonders? No. It's not going to do you anything. If anything, if you give away 16 minutes, if you give away 16 minutes of a footage...
No, it's going to charge Fox money.
Oh, right. But I'm just saying, 50% of the people don't like the footage that they saw. Well, guess what? You just lost 50% of your audience. You either say, here's my trailer, like every other film has done. I'm sorry, that's a bullshit, cocky move by James Cameron to say, I'm going to give away 16 minutes. And too bad for all of those people that lost out and spent their time trying to get into the internet when it crashed because of Avatar Day. But that's a stupid move. That's a stupid move because I can honestly say that your name isn't showing up on, again, if we're going with the whole Twitter, you know, reference, your name isn't on there right now. It was a dumb move to give away 16 minutes of a film that you've hyped up so much. No one liked the trailer to begin with, and now you're giving away 16 minutes? Yeah, I'm not going to show up. Here's my ticket, bud. You go ahead, you watch it for me, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
You know what he should have did? Instead of giving away 16 minutes, he should have cut a good trailer.
Yeah, he should have given away $16.
So, obviously you guys aren't big fans of Avatar yet. And you might not be. I don't understand it, again. But we are big fans
of the Sherlock Holmes bars.
That's what I was kind of transitioning into.
Very nice, Matt.
Matt caught that. I've never seen an intelligent move by Matt. Mark this time spot down.
It's 11:12 and approximately 1 minute ago, Matt attacked this podcast.
About an hour into the podcast, Matt caught on. No, but seriously, let's talk about this viral for a second. Like, do you guys have quick thoughts about it, or?
Yeah, I think it's doing very well, and I think it's going to catch on. And once they get those followers from WB's Twitter and from us, from Alex at First Showing, this thing could be big.
You know, I got to thank also First Showing. They wrote an article, and I just laughed at the end when they wrote the article. Maybe they should include other websites that actually care about virals like us or MovieRoute.com, and then he updated it with, oh, I should have checked my mail, I got one too. And he got this little flippy card, so he attacked them to find out later that he was actually included. But he kept that part in there, so we're still getting plugged by Alex.
There we go, that works.
Didn't they actually try to launch this at Comic-Con?
Yeah, they tried to launch it at Comic-Con. It failed, pretty bad, I guess, no one found out it. But I don't like the idea about Twittering it, the giving it to give it away. They should have done where they sent the stuff to the blogs, because then Alex would have posted it, the guys over at Joe Blow would have posted it, all these other places that they sent it, they would have posted these things they got in the mail, and then someone would have found the website. They shouldn't have tweeted the URL. I thought that was kind of a
mistake. Well, here's the thing, is they tweeted it, whatever, tweeted, twatted,
twat,
whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to call it. They did that, but if they had went to Alex or, you know, Slash Film, or if they had went to anybody
like us,
or us, yeah, well, we'll get there eventually. If they had went to us, that's cool. You know, that's great. Hey, look at what we found. We got this in the mail today. Or do they go through Twitter and give everyday people a chance to get involved and figure it out themselves? Because to be honest with you, who wants to go and have half of the viral figured out? The fact that if they Twittered it to you and said, here's an IP address, go nuts. That's cool, because now the regular person gets to follow this viral.
Go ahead.
No, that's what I'm just saying. It's cool for them to go this route.
Yeah, I understand,
not
but
say,
I think they should have sent
shots.
The stuff to First Showing, all that. Let them find it. And I doubt they would have found the website, because it was kind of hidden. Like, send them the things that it had. It was four things, the flip cards, I think, and each one had a different IP address when you flip it around. So I think they should have done that. They sent it. I doubt they would have found out. They might have. And if they did, you know what, okay. But then after they posted it, they should have gave it a few days, even if it had been found out yet, put it on Twitter then.
But here's the thing.
I don't know, but isn't it good for the people?
Well, hold on, but think about what was found first. What did we post about first? What did First Showing post about first? Did they post about the flip cards, or did they post about the IP address given away on Twitter?
The IP address given away on Twitter, because we didn't know about the flip cards.
Right, right. You don't have to know about the first card, the flip cards. You know about the IP that was given to you.
If they had sent the flip cards to First Showing first, we would have posted about the flip cards first. It's
okay, well, all right. I can see how they may have screwed up on that, but I don't know. I just think it's cool because Twitter goes out to the masses instead of the masses looking for it.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, and I obviously Unfiction is doing a great job following it, and
that's as they do with every viral.
Oh yeah, as they do with every viral. No, we cover every viral perfectly.
We don't cover every viral.
No, movieviral. All the virals we cover, we do it perfect. Movieviral.com/forum is so much better than Unfiction. So
yeah.
No.
So if you're listening, Unfiction. we do what we can. Obviously, everybody out there, it doesn't matter what site you are, everybody gets stuff from every other site, and it's nice. It's a good help, you know.
It's good as long as you source each other, because you got to source each other. Sherlock's Home Viral. That's a plug. That's a plug I should
just like,
yes,
Nick.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I think that, you know, what is this Warner Brothers' first attempt at viral?
Well, it's
Terminator.
Well, was that Warner Brothers? Or was that Sony company? Because I think this.
No, Sony did International. Warner Brothers did Resist or Be Terminated, and
okay, so then they have an idea that they're doing. So it's not like
is it actually Warner Brothers, or did they hire an outside company? Like
I don't know. I know they didn't get 42 Entertainment to do it.
Yeah, I've actually heard things. That there's another website that might be connected to the viral. I haven't posted anything because nothing's confirmed.
You heard it first now.
It's on. No, I'm not going to post it because I actually don't think it has anything to do with it. But it's called consumerrecreationservices.com, no spaces. And it's just. It's kind of obvious that it's a viral. They say players wanted and stuff like that. But. An ARG, excuse me. But, and there are people who believe that it might be 42 Entertainment because there's this quote in there that was said by a 42 Entertainment founder who isn't with 42 Entertainment, they're not with Fourth Wall. So they thought it might be 42 Entertainment. And also because the Twitter for this consumerrecreationservices.com, the Twitter account, they had a Twitter account, that's how people founded it, tweeted the IP address for the Warner Bros. Sherlock Holmes viral. So there's kind of mixed feelings on whether this is involved or whether it's just kind of fake, I guess, or something totally separate.
Well, are you saying involved as in part of the viral or part of creating the viral?
I think it's part of the viral is what people think.
And what's the consumer what?
ConsumerRecreationServices.com.
All right, if it's part of the viral, that's kind of an odd name to do with anything of Sherlock Holmes.
I guess there was some connections. I don't know what they were. There was also an address, 1 Montgomery Crest, which is the building where they filmed something. There was a lot of connections to it, but it still could end up being.
You never know. All right, well, we'll look into it.
But I thought I'd just mention that.
No, I mean, I didn't know that. Obviously, I didn't follow the Terminator viral. So if they're connected to Resist or Be Terminated, then obviously they know. From what I've read, they know what went wrong. So Sherlock Holmes could have some big stuff. I mean, I honestly think that the IP address is well put together, the site.
No, I agree.
You know, you don't know what the hell the guy's talking about until he starts talking about Earthworm and Fire. And I don't think he's talking about the band from the 70s. But I think it's pretty decent, the fact that, you know, they went that far.
Yeah.
To send out some information, and you know, maybe they just didn't realize that people got it and then they Twittered it, but whatever. So, but every viral that we followed There's not going to be any flawless viral. That's going to be impossible. Flawless viral involves
The Dark Knight was flawless.
Neither
did I, but I watched this video on it, and it was awesome. I'll send you the link after.
All right, I'll go back and I'll look at it. But you know what? I don't know.
We'll see what they're going to do. Sherlock Holmes viral, and also every single Sony viral. But the Sherlock Holmes is more subtle. It's at the bottom. It has terms of use and privacy policy, and then copyright Warner Bros. Entertainment Incorporated, all rights reserved. So it has the copyright at the bottom of the page. And then, obviously, with Sony has the movie experience thing where it has a link to every single
film. If you go to Home of Tron, they actually smarten it up because they join their two sites together. Because if you go at the bottom, they have a terms of use or policy agreement, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
But they don't use any big names. They use Flynn Lives Organization.
Right. Well, that's because that's 42 Entertainment. So they're smart enough. They know how to work in a viral.
That's what it is. 42. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to get to the point where, all right, sorry if the Dark Knight viral was flawless. I didn't look into it. My bad. But you're still going to get into sites that are just going to have a little of this, a little of that. Maybe we don't see it as wrong, but somebody's going to see it. Somebody's going to call their bluff, you know. We call
Cloverfield
bluff. We call Dark Knight bluff. Called surrogates. Here's the thing, too, is I don't want to turn every podcast that we do into a Dark Knight podcast. I'm just saying that.
Also, eventually, I got a question.
Things. Go ahead.
What is your favorite viral that you followed?
Personally? Yeah. Cloverfield.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Cloverfield immensely.
Well, why? I can understand why you like it, but looking at it from a different perspective, there were only three sites. The rest
doesn't
of them
matter.
Were fake.
How many sites there were? Doesn't matter how many sites there were. Here's the thing, there was an update once a month.
Matt, you're wrong.
There was like 1 month where they only updated it once. Other than that, there was updates almost every day on different things. And there were hidden clues, too. It wasn't just, here's all the links to the websites.
And not only did that, but they brought their viral into the background of the DVD. Here's the thing. You know what somebody said to me the other day? I haven't seen Cloverfield. This is what I heard. I heard from somebody the other day. I haven't seen Cloverfield. And they go, you have to watch Cloverfield, but don't watch it with Scott because your hour and a half movie is going to turn into 4 hours. Because that's how much the viral had an effect on it. The viral poured into the DVD, you know? And I'm looking forward to getting, you know, I haven't seen it yet. If anybody's seen it, the director's cut of Watchmen, let us know if the viral has spilled into that. But to me, we had some good sites that we were following for the Watchmen, but I don't know. Other than, you know, the Gotham Times and the Joker's website and stuff like that, I really don't know what the Dark Knight had. But yeah, there will be something. If you give me time right now, not now personally, but you give me a few weeks, hook me up with all the Dark Knight links, I'll find some issues. But
I can hook you up with one link right now, and it'll explain
it. Don't give me one link. I want them all. Give me everything.
Oh no,
give me
this one link.
Find it.
I this just one link it, like, destroy your entire mind.
What are you? Is it the slash film thing?
No, it's the Wikia Bruce.
I really don't care about Wiki. Aren't Wikis all editable by the public?
Oh no, dude. This is like the 100%. The Dark Knight viral is the first viral to get its own.
Do me a favor. Do me a favor.
Wait. Hold on. Wiki Bruce follows every single viral. It has one for District 9. It has one for Tron. It has one for. You're wrong there. Congratulations.
Just send me all the links and I'll find flaws. But I'm just saying that things are going to change with each viral.
Well, you can't get all the links because the sites changed so much. When Why So Serious first started, it was a picture of a Jokerized Uncle Sam.
I saw that. Okay.
Yeah. Big deal. Then the next day, it was a countdown. Then the day after that, it was an internet game to unlock the trailer.
If you want, then after I can that, play.
It turned to Rent-A-Clown. Then after that, it turned into a pump.
Matt.
Then after
Matt.
What?
This is not what? About the Dark Knight. We just brought it up shortly. I admitted that it was flawless, and you're just going on and on. If you want, I can play
about how flawless it is.
No, I know, but if you want, I can play this. It's like a 4-minute video about about the Dark Knight's campaign.
I have it. Yeah, I got the link. I heard it bloop. I will watch it, and then I'll go from there.
But if you want to play it now, I will.
No, because then my system will crash, and I won't be on Skype.
I can play it now. If you want, and you'll be
no, no, don't.
Okay.
Play it.
Because it'll just be 4 minutes of Matt interrupting the video. Listen, I will look at it, and we'll go from there, and I will even write an article about how I find it flawed. I'm just saying that every viral is going to change, and Sherlock Holmes has a chance to do something different. We've got, it's like you look at some of the other viral that we're following. 9 is coming out next month. Mm-hmm. Their viral originally went from viral to nothing more than, you know, audio clips of whatever the hell the guy's name is, the character there. It's, things are going to change. They're going to be different. We lost the surrogates viral. We had it at one point. It looked decent. And now they're linked all the sites together. So we lost that.
Right.
We obviously have our complaints that Sony, you guys complain. I will say that you, Nick and Alex at First Showing complain that Sony has all the sites at the bottom. Yes, they gave away the viral, but
no, I understand from a marketing standpoint.
I still like following. So it's going to change. So Sherlock Holmes has a chance. Hell, Shutter Island just got pushed back to February next year. They could launch a viral tomorrow that could take over everybody. It's freaking, you know, Scorsese viral could do huge. That's what
the viral could win best picture.
I'm just saying that things are gonna, you know, they change with each and every viral. We've already lost
a couple. Viral has a chance to do, because it's Sherlock Holmes, they have a chance to do more of a mystery.
They could play it smart. If they play it smart and they go with mystery and Elementary, My Dear Watson, and Moriarty, all this kind of stuff, they could own viral this year. And next year, they could own it.
Tron is doing next year, so I don't know.
I thought Tron came out in 2001.
No, Tron. I meant the viral. That's what I meant. Not the movie.
Well, no. I mean, we have our Tron viral now, and they have a possibility. They could do stuff, but obviously we saw that Disney blew the surrogates, so Disney could blow Tron.
Disney hired 42 Entertainment to do Tron. 42 Entertainment is just gonna no.
Well, okay, but still, you don't know. You don't know what could happen with Sherlock. If they look at the fact that it's Sherlock Holmes, and if they move that into their viral, they could create new forms of viral.
And I really wish I could talk to Warner Bros. About the viral, because like I do Sony, because I think if they know what they obviously do know, because they hired 42 Entertainment for Tron, so they know what a viral can have on an impact on a movie. But hopefully they find out themselves from Sherlock Holmes that a viral can have an impact, and if they play their cards right, Sherlock Holmes could be a very good viral.
Well, here's the thing, too. Granted, a lot of people are starting to write about the viral of Sherlock Holmes, and they're also starting to write about the mistakes. Mm-hmm. I honestly think that these companies...
They haven't made a mistake yet.
You know, Sony, 42... Well, no, I'm just saying that... Do you don't think that people like Sony and 42 Entertainment read the blog sites and get what their mistakes are? It's, you know, they're going to see what their mistakes are, and hopefully they read into it and they fix it. So right now, what Sherlock Holmes's mistake was the fact that they released it at Comic-Con and then they went out of order and put the IP on Twitter? No, that's not a mistake.
It's just we didn't get the... Comic-Con and failed, that no one found it.
But okay, so they're correcting it and they're going a different
route. I agree. I think I said in my article, I think the Sherlock Holmes viral, and Alex has said it too, that the Sherlock Holmes viral can be a very successful one because of it's Sherlock Holmes.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they'll pick up on that and they get some help. Shit, hire some of the freaking writers from the movie. Hire Guy Ritchie to do some viral. I don't know. Just kick it up a little bit. So they still have time for that one. Tron has time for theirs. There's some that are dead and gone, and you know, there's no hope for you. But Tron and Sherlock Holmes, they got hope. They could do something.
Right.
Oh. So we can only wait and see. But I don't know. I think for anything this year, it's this year's movies are, you know, dead and gone.
Yeah, I would kind of agree with that. But again,
and I don't know if it's a box office standpoint that, yeah, if Avatar comes out in December, it's going to be hard to compare any numbers to Avatar than it is to Up. But
well, are you saying that, you know, there's just every single movie after Inglourious Bastards is dead and gone? Because we got Halloween 2 next.
Not dead. Yeah. Halloween 2 is not. I'm sorry. Halloween 2 is not going to compare to some of the films. It's going to do good. It's going to do great. I want to see it. I'm not going to go see it over the weekend.
I believe we'll beat Halloween 2, though.
No, I'm placing this audio bet right now. When this podcast is posted on Tuesday, everyone will hear that Halloween 2.
If Final Destination beats Halloween, I get staff fired. You get demoted to contributor.
For what? How long?
For no days. 2 weeks. Because we're not doing that bet.
Okay, one day.
No, I'll talk to Nick. I will bet whatever the bet may be that Halloween 2 takes over Final Destination's box office. From start to finish.
We shall discuss the terms of this bet on the forums.
From opening weekend. Second weekend, 2009 totals, Halloween 2 will take over Final Destination. Final Destination will finally maybe get some ground on DVD release next year. There you go. You've heard it here, folks.
It's on.
Okay.
Halloween 2 is going to not do good.
Halloween 2 has already gotten good reviews. Not great, but good. Enough. It's a Rob Zombie film.
And Rob Zombie's only had one good film.
And which one was that?
Devil's Rejects.
Right, Devil's Rejects. So now this is a Rob Zombie film that is carrying on from another film, which Halloween did pretty damn good.
Yeah, but House of a Thousand Corpses.
House of a Thousand Corpses sucked.
I know it
sucked. House of a Thousand Corpses was a Chainsaw remake, you know, Chainsaw Massacre ripoff.
Let me explain. The reason Devil's Rejects was awesome is because it was different. And from every single trailer in Halloween 2, it just looks like the last half of Halloween, just different settings.
Yeah, you watch Halloween, he got shit because it's going to show Michael's face and he's got a beard. You watch Halloween 2, we'll put Final Destination to rest.
Honestly, I can emulate.
Do you like that?
I can emulate the Halloween 2 Rob Zombie experience by sitting on my couch, smoking a blunt, and watching Jerry Springer.
Now we lost Jerry Springer. Hey, I think I'll make a bet here that District 9 will be both. That District 9 will be both.
Wait, are we talking opening weekend or total?
Total.
Total. Of course.
I don't know. That's a pretty, pretty high
stakes. The end of the year?
Yeah, well, at the end of the year, it should definitely beat it because, but,
All right, so District 9 made $32 million opening weekend, right?
Yeah.
I'm calling 38 for Halloween.
That's probably true. Halloween already has a following. District 9 was a standalone. I was just saying that to get...
Final Destination has a following, but Final Destination's following is DVD following, not theater following. That's true. So.
Final Destination's following is all the people who go to see 3D movies.
What?
Give it up. No one goes to see 3D anymore. It's done. It's over.
Yes, they do.
Dude, it's gone. It died in July. The only reason.
Oh my God. You don't realize how good GeForce 3D did in its 3D theaters. Well, I'm going to have to exit this.
I'm just kind of surprised right now.
I'm going to exit you right now, Matt.
I'm gonna have to exit this podcast.
I think it was
you owe me your staff writer.
I think it was 20 minutes ago, Matt.
What?
I think it was 20 minutes ago that you you brought some wit into the podcast, and you just killed it over the last 20 minutes.
It was 20 minutes ago that you brought it in, and 21 minutes ago that you lost it. That's all right. Great. So we have Sherlock Holmes has potential.
Yep.
Inglourious Bastards was better than District 9.
That's what people say.
And we have Surrogates coming in September.
Avatar looks funny.
Avatar is the feel good hit of the year.
next week, I guess we'll be discussing Halloween 2 with Dan.
I hope so.
Yeah,
I hope
me and Scott. I guess me and Scott will be back. I don't know.
Well, maybe. But one last thing is I forgot to mention this, that next week we're giving away some Iron Man 4 or 2 posters. We got them, Iron Man 4. No,
Iron Man 4. We have awesome
Iron Man 2 posters, and I'm going to read some information about this. If you want to do it on Twitter, twitter.com/movieviral, and you can do that Monday, 8/24, that is Monday, between 9 a.m. and... Wait, right.
Actually,
and
if you're listening to this, that was yesterday.
You missed it. No. Between 9 a.m. and 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, because I guess we'll go by California's time now. Facebook, you can do it Wednesday, 8/26. That's this Wednesday.
All you gotta do is become a fan of Movie Viral on Facebook.
Right. 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. Or the forum, moveviral.com/forum, which you have to be registered on. Friday, 8/28, between 4 p.m. and 8 p.m. So I'm going to run through this. This is the ending credits, unless there's anything else you guys want to mention.
Oh, yeah. Follow us all on Twitter. Iron Man.
Where do you think I'm going? Yeah,
just let him get there, Matt. Please. I just want to say that the Iron Man 2 posters that we're giving away are really cool.
They are pretty cool. I can't get one.
They're from Comic-Con.
Right.
They're straight from Comic-Con. They're legit.
Yeah. But I actually can't get one because, I don't know, Dan said I couldn't. So it looks like...
He said I could get one. He said that I... Don't. Let the people have one.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not going to take one, but I'm just saying what he said. I can't get one.
So I think Corey wants one.
Oh, I'm sure he does, but that's too bad.
Yeah, but he's banned.
No, but okay. Let me run through the credits here. Follow Scott credits. On Twitter.
We have credits. Wait, here they go. Yes.
This podcast has been brought to you by. No, that's later.
A letter dump.
Let's see. You can follow Matt on Twitter. Matt,
you forgot me.
I'm gonna get back to you. Twitter.com/MattLPool. You can follow Scott on Twitter. Twitter.com/ I hope I get this right. Movie Viral Scott?
Scott
Movie Viral.
Damn it. Okay,
Nick.
You can follow Scott on Twitter, twitter.com/viralmoviescott. You can...
What?
No, I'm just kidding. twitter.com/scottmovieviral, or movies viral, whatever you prefer. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/NicholasButler, N-I-C-H-O-L-L-S.
Nick L. Pool.
Yeah, that's our joint one. Let's see what else we got. YouTube, youtube.com/movieviral. Facebook.com, is it /movieviral? I don't even know. This is the credits. This is our
myspace.com/movieviral.
I don't think we have a MySpace, do we?
Yeah, we do. No one's on it.
I thought MySpace died.
6 years.
MySpace is still up.
No, I still have one.
What else do we got? I think that's it. Ian doesn't have
Twitter. Then the forum.
Oh, we better give this out. Our new contributor. One of our... We actually got two new ones, but I don't know if the other one has a Twitter. Alex, Is it Garage? I don't want to be saying
G-Rage?
It.
G-Rage?
Is it Garage? Garage?
I think it's Strage.
It could be.
He's so new, we have no clue what it is.
We don't know. We haven't talked to him yet, really. Like, you know, but so you can follow him on Twitter, twitter.com/AlexGerage, and we're glad to have him on the team, and we think he's going to be a good contributor. And that's basically it. And welcome. Thanks, yeah, welcome. And thanks for listening.
Who'd
to
you say the second one was?
That's, well, I don't know if he has a Twitter. But he's a Ian.
And don't forget that this podcast was brought to you by John Cusack's Mercedes.
It may have
if you're
been.
Gonna die in the apocalypse, die in style.
That's true. This is the longest credits we've ever had. Do you want to just keep going? No.
Let's keep going. Let's just add more people. Hey, listen.
Big shout out to Regis.
I could jump in here and say a couple things.
Yeah, go ahead, Christopher.
Anyways, I've been listening to your podcast, and I just want to let you know that I approve.
What's
of everything you're doing.
How about you, Harry Carey?
It's one of those things that you just, it's a podcast. I was like a mixture of both of those
hey,
two.
Who cares? Listen, everybody, you gotta follow Booby Viral on boobyviral.com, and you gotta love it, and a big shout out to everybody at Booby Viral. Thanks for listening to ViralCast. ViralCast is brought to you by viewers like you, and
Flusha.
Why so serious?
In the months leading up to the release of The Dark Knight, an alternate reality game attracted more than 10 million unique players.
I'm just gonna leave it at that.
Okay, I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah, you're already excited? That's a cool voice guy.
In the months have come.
Yeah, that is a... That's an awesome
which you, oh, oh, can we record this? Can we, Matt, can we, or Nick? Yeah,
we're
Matt.
Still recording.
Nick, can we record this? Can we, oh, we are? All right, here we go. I have the beginning of our podcast.
What you're about to hear is a true recording. In the months to come, the three members known as Nick, Scott, and Matt recorded this podcast on a lonely Sunday night in the month of August. There's no words, no notes to describe what has happened. It was just the last recording. What you're about to hear is true events. Please, remember.